Psalms chapter number 23, a very familiar text this morning. We'll be in Psalms chapter number 23, and what a great psalm and a powerful psalm that we'll be reading this morning. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think it's a very, very familiar text in which we'll be preaching out of this morning. Psalms 23 in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I draw your attention to number one, where David starts it off by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." I just want to preach on that topic this morning, that subject, the Lord is my shepherd. Hey, you're looking at a 28-year-old boy that's glad this morning that he has a shepherd and that he can call on a very faithful shepherd. I'm talking about Jesus Christ this morning. Hey, I'm talking about the shepherds of all shepherds. Hey, but we'll go to the Lord in prayer and see what he's got for us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, you know me this morning. Lord, I pray you hide me behind your cross. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd lift me up. Lord, I pray, Lord, this morning you'd use me, speak through me. God, I pray this morning, Lord, you'd help me cleanse myself of all sin. God, help me to get rid of myself, God, so I can receive something from your spirit this morning. God, I pray for that soul that may be wandering this morning. Lord, maybe tiptoeing through the tulips, Lord, around hell. God, I pray this morning you'd speak to their heart. God, and forever save them, Lord, for coming to the church house. God, Lord, I pray everything that's done here this morning, God, to bring honor, God, and glory to your name. God, I pray, Lord, that I wouldn't get any glory, God, or any honor this morning, God, but I pray this morning, God, that you would be exalted on high. God, for you are worthy this morning. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you do something in our midst. God, we love you and we thank you. In your precious and heavenly name we do pray. Amen. We see here in Psalms chapter 23. Hey, we said it this morning already that Psalms 23 is a very familiar psalm. We could say this morning that it's a very familiar and well-known maybe portion of Scripture this morning outside of John 3:16. Hey, we could say it's probably known better than any other Scripture that we could come in contact with, saved and unsaved folks alike. Hey, it's been printed on maybe billboards. Hey, we've seen it on plaques and little whatnots inside of the house. Hey, we are no stranger to the fact that it was written by this man by the name of David, that same man, David, that was after God's own heart. We're talking about David, the man that beat Goliath with a stone. Hey, I draw your attention this morning that David knew something about shepherding. David was a shepherd himself. Hey, I recall the fact over there in 1 Samuel in chapter number 17, where he's coming to fight that Philistine over Goliath, and Saul says, "We don't have nobody to go against him," and David said, "I'll go." He said, "I'll fight that Philistine." Hey, let me tell you something, young person, this morning, hey, Saul tried to discourage him. In verse number 32, he said, "But thou art a youth." Hey, could I tell you, you could do something in your youth ages. Hey, you could do something great and powerful for God. Hey, David was just a whole ruddy shepherd boy, but took five smooth stones, and he conquered Goliath. We're talking about that same David this morning. Hey, and then he came to Saul, and Saul said, "But man, thou art but a ruddy boy." He said, "But thou art just a child." And he said, he told Saul, I can't say it so eloquently, I can't quote the Bible verse, but over there in about 33, he said, "I remember when a lion came, and I remember when a bear came." And they said, "They took one of my little lambs, and they went off." He said, "I grabbed that lion by the beard, and I smote him." He said, "And I do the same thing to this Philistine." He said, this morning, he told him, "For one little lost lamb," he said, "I'll put my life at risk." So if anybody knew anything about a shepherd and the love that a shepherd should have, it would be this man by the name of David. Hey, David knew what it took. He knew the lifestyle that he lived. He knew how to take care of the sheep. He knew what the sheep went through on a daily basis. We're talking about the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the mightyful. Hey, he doesn't write in this psalm, and notice with me, he started off, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He doesn't write it from the shepherd's point of view, which is very amazing. He writes it from a sheep's point of view. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." I started reading and I started thinking, man, why in the world would David, being a shepherd, write this psalm and take this psalm and go from the sheep's point of view And I thought about it, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And I started thinking that. I started thinking about 2 or 3 days ago, amen, what a shepherd that David had in Jesus. And the things that he brought him through and the things he took him through, the valleys that he got to cross, and just exactly what David went through as a shepherd. But man, he knows what it feels like to be a sheep, don't he? I got to studying how that thing by way of introduction kind of really for that word, the Lord is my shepherd. That the Lord is that same word, Yahweh. Which was interesting to me. I'll just tell you this. It helped my heart, Brother Curtis. Hey, you'll find that over there in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 14. When and Moses said, whom shall I say sent me? And he said, tell him, I am that I am sent me. Man, it did my heart joy when I started back to reading it. Instead of saying the Lord is my shepherd, I said, the great I am is my shepherd. I thought about that and what joy it filled my soul this morning to know that the great I am is my shepherd this morning, and I shall not want for nothing. 3 things about a sheep this morning. I'll go ahead and give you the message, and we'll make our way to get something to eat this morning. Hey, the first thing I see is the grazing of the sheep. In verses 1 through 2, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I'm talking about the grazing of the sheep. Notice he said green pastures. He didn't say the wilderness. He didn't say the weedy parts of the pastures. He said green pastures. You said, what are we doing this morning? As sheep this morning, we're gathered around green pastures. Hey, we're here to get something from the Word of God. Hey, God, hey, the great shepherd's led us in the paths. Hey, and I'm telling you, he's brought us to a place where we could eat this morning. I'm talking about the grazing of the sheep. Hey, I noticed this morning that it was a specific place. Hey, I noticed this morning that it wasn't at the ball field that he was going to find grazing. Hey, I noticed this morning it wasn't the train station. It wasn't Walmart. It wasn't off of TV. Hey, but it said in a specific place. It said in green pastures. Talking about the church house this morning, the grazing of the sheep. I look at verse number 3 and it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I thought about the guiding of the sheep. We don't have a better guide than Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. He's a light unto my path. He said he's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, it said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say that he was going to lead me. But he said, though when I walk, he'll be there. Hey, what about that this morning? Though we may put ourselves in bad predicaments and a sheep, not very smart animal, I won't get into that right now, but hey, but now has a tendency to wander off path and go astray and just can't do much for itself. But I'm glad to know that if I wander off, if I stray, that I got a Savior that'll come and get me, that'll come and find me, and that'll lead me back to the fold. I remind you, inside of your King James Bible, he said he left the 99 to get that one little lost sheep. Hey, I'm glad that morning on January 2nd, 2011, Brother Kojak, I was sitting where you were sitting, and I heard that preacher hammer down on the gospel. He told me what I was by nature and what I could be by grace. Hey, I came down to a good old-fashioned altar, and I remember my life's been changed. Hey, them girls get up here and they sing that sweet song. I've been changed. I've been newborn. All my life has been rearranged. See, what a difference it made when Jesus came and stayed. Hallelujah. Hey, you're not looking at the same. Boy, I might have used to been a goat. Hey, I might have used to been a different animal. Hey, but now I'm a sheep of God, and I don't have to worry about it. Hey, I can go where I need to go because I got a good shepherd guiding me. Hey, you say where he'll lead, I'll follow, Sister Lisa. Hey, I haven't worried about it one day inside of my Christian life if he was going to lead me astray, because he said he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee this morning. Hey, so we see the grazing of the sheep. We see the guiding of the sheep. I like this morning. Said the gathering of the sheep. Sheep's going to gather at a specific place and a specific time. I like that. 10:45, we had church this morning, Brother Curtis. I'd like to say the sheep are here. 9:45 this morning, we had Sunday school. We got to start a little early. Got some of that breakfast in us, Brother Brian. Sheep have to start eating a little early. Hey, sheep have to be still. Sheep can't eat on the move. Hey, sheep can't drink from moving water. Hey, you're going to have peace be still. Hey, we're going to have to get still every once in a while if we're going to get something from God. As a sheep, we're going to have to eat, and we're going to have to eat on his pace. Hey, it's not on ours. Hey, it's funny to me that the sheep don't know no better, but he had to gather them and guide them to the one spot, eat green pastures. Hey, that's about like you and I this morning. Hey, we'll eat whatever we can, won't we? Hey, we'll take in whatever the world's got to say, philosophies. Hey, but I'm glad this morning, though. If I could just make it to the church house and I can get around them green pastures around to where the church house, where them other sheep are, I could gather and do something. This morning, we're preaching on the Lord is my shepherd. And what a great shepherd we do have. This morning, the first thing, if you're taking notes, we'll talk about the perspective of the Psalms. Psalm chapter number 22, 23, and 24, if you know anything about the Psalms, would be considered the shepherd Psalms. And in Psalms 22, 23, and 24, they're written by the man by the name of David, which we've already discussed. But we see the perspective of the Psalms. In Psalms 22, if we read it and we study it out, we'll see the crucified shepherd. And man, what a crucified shepherd we have. I'm talking about he left the splendors of heaven for you and I. I'm talking about he left streets of gold and walls of jasper to live in a sin-cursed world. Friend, I'm talking about live a sin-free life for you and I. And he died. I'm talking about he was crucified. No man taketh my life, but he said, I'll willingly lay it down. This morning we're talking about the crucified shepherd. This morning you might be here lost and undone and not a shepherd. You don't know the shepherd personally. You don't know his voice when he starts to calling you. But I'm telling you this morning that there's a shepherd up and he's been crucified and he's living again. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm glad this morning that I serve a shepherd that was crucified, buried, and living again for you and I. He's made it possible. I'm talking about he took our sins and bore him. I'm talking about this morning. He took our stripes. He let him pluck out his beard. He put the crowns of thorns on his head. He carried mine and your cross up, and he willingly laid it down. Brother Brian, I don't see him forcing him having to force his hands down. If we read about that centurion, that jailer, I'm telling you, he was so amazed by how easy he laid his hands down on that cross, and how he willingly laid down his life. For you and I this morning, sheep and not sheep alike, he died for you and me on an old rugged cross that we may live. This morning, Psalms 22 talks about the crucified shepherd. This morning, if we had to be honest, in chapter number 23, we come to the fact that we see the caring shepherd. And we already sung a little bit of the song a while ago, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. I don't care what you're going through. I've been through some hard times since I've been saved in my mind, but mine and God's. There's not a mountain too tall or a valley too low that he can't reach us this morning. We're talking about a caring shepherd. I don't know the conditions that were around that sheep that the Bible said that he left that 99 to get that one. I like to thank Brother Curtis that he had to maybe go. I think he would have went over a river for him. I think he would have went through a briar patch. I think he would have done anything he could have done. But could I tell you this morning that we serve a guide in the sheep. He said that he'll guide the sheep, but I'm glad this that he'll go gather us. This morning we got a caring shepherd. Psalms 23, David didn't hold back when he says, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He said, yo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy staff and thy rod, they comfort me. This morning we're talking about the caring shepherd. I thank my parents. They've done great and mighty things in my life, and they've took care of me. But can I tell you this morning? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. I mean, anybody that could take an individual. You're looking at me this morning. You're saying you think you got it all figured out. Can I tell you, no, sir, and no, ma'am, I don't have it all figured out. But I know the one that does got it all figured out. I know the man that took me out of a miry pit and set my feet on a solid rock. You said you don't know my lifestyle and you don't know my background. Can I tell you this morning, it don't matter. I know a man who can. I might not be able to calm the troubled waters or calm the troubled seas inside of your life or calm the storms, Brother James, but can I tell you this? I know a man who can. In Psalms 22 this morning, we see the crucified shepherd. Psalms 22, we see the caring shepherd. But I like this in Psalms 24 and in verse number 8, he says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Man, what a powerful statement he made right there. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. I know the crucified shepherd this morning. If you don't know the crucified shepherd this morning, I could show you where he's at. I could lead you right into it. So we see the perspective of the psalm. This is where I spent a great deal of portion of the time at this morning. Not only do we see the perspective of the psalm, if you're taking notes, but we see the persons of the psalm. If we read Psalms 23, we'll notice we're no stranger to the fact that we see the shepherd and the sheep. But he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over in verse 5. So we would have to say this morning that we'd see Satan. We see the sheep, we see the shepherd, and we see Satan this morning. This morning we see, first off, we see the sheep. I thought about it, man, when I got saved, I was like, man, I feel like I could take on the world. Then you go to reading passages and it tells you that you're nothing but a sheep. And you go to looking up a sheep and you say, man, sheep are foolish. Sheep are ignorant. Sheep have no defense mechanism. I can't fight nothing off. I can't feed myself. I can't drink from moving waters. My legs are too short. If I fall in a hole, I got to be picked up. Hey, what about that two fence? There's only one set of footprints in the sand because he'll carry you through it. Hey, I'm thankful this morning that though I can't walk, he can walk for me. Hey, I'm thankful this morning that when trials come and temptations hit, I know a man who can. Hey, friend, this morning I'm talking about sheep. When we get hungry, the shepherd feeds us. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. Hey, I'm telling you this morning that I know from personal experience he'll take care of you. You say, how do you know? Well, about January of 2012, Brother Curtis, seizures hit. And I had a hard time. I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm not saying I'm trying to give God the glory this morning. Hey, and I remember losing my job and about losing everything I had. And I remember that the shepherd started taking care of me, Brother James. Hey, I remember finding money. I remember money being given to me. I remember bills getting paid. Hey, I remember folks putting gas inside of my gas tank and never saying nothing. You say, what was it? The caring shepherd. This morning, it was the caring shepherd, that crowned shepherd this morning. But that person's of the psalm, just a sheep. You say, what are you? I'm a sheep. He's my shepherd, and I'm a follow. Where he leads, I'll follow. But we see Satan this morning. No matter what we go through, old Slewfoot's going to put his 2 cents in. No matter what kind of mountaintop you're on, no matter what valley you're in, hey, you can already be in the valley getting beat up, and he'll come by your way. Hey, you just need to quit. Brother Jonathan, I don't know why you're constantly trying to do right and going to the church house and reading your Bible. Just quit. Hey, that's what he tells us. Hey, we're in the valley. And you're sitting here this morning, you ain't part of the sheepfold, and he's telling you, there's no need of getting saved. Or you can wait till tomorrow. I've never seen inside of my Bible, you can take your Bible and bring it to me after church. I've never seen it, and you can't show it to me that nobody gets saved tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Zacchaeus in chapter 19 of Luke in verse number 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was past tense. Hey, nobody gets saved tomorrow. If you put it off to tomorrow, hey, by the way, the Bible says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, because you know it's not what a day may bring forth. Hey, life is but a vapor. We're not guaranteed anything this morning. Hey, but we see Satan also in this text. Hey, maybe I thought about this while I was studying it. For a sheep, that might be a wolf or it might be a lion. What a prey, what a predator. By the way, the Bible likens our old devil to the lion, don't he? Over there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, I got to looking up, Brother Nate, about them lions. And a lion weighs anywhere between 250 to 300 pounds. Can run up to about 60 miles an hour, Reggie. Hey, but friend, can I tell you, they can in one leap, they can jump up to about 20 feet at one leap. Got padded feet, and you can't hear him running. And guess what? We live inside of his domain this morning. The Bible calls him the prince and the power of the air. Hey, but we serve a crowned shepherd that says, hey, that he'll be coming through the clouds. He said, I ain't scared of the old devil. I'll be coming right through his domain. I'll come right through where he's coming to come back and get you guys. Hey, this morning we're talking about that devil. He's seeking to destroy. He's looking for the weak one. Hey, they tell me about them old predators that a lion can sense how healthy a sheep is or its prey is just by the bleeding of the sheep from a long distance. I wonder what we said this morning before we come to the church house when we were waking up. That let the devil know that he could grab us and that he could point out the weak individual. You wonder, you say, why is the devil on my back so much? Because sometimes it's by the things that we say. It's not so much about the actions. Bible said he's the prince and the power of the air. He don't know the thoughts and the intents of your heart. But can I tell you this? The audible word speaks volumes. He's walking through life and you're doing fine. And you say, I can't believe the preacher said that. And guess what happens? The devil chimes right on in. You don't have to take that. Hey, I know your boss looked at you like that, but hey, you don't have to work there. I know you got a family to provide for, but hey, look, just talk back to her on that Facebook again or talk to her on that internet website and everything will be kind. Hey, that's what the devil does. He chimes in on what we got inside of our life. Hey, but can I tell you this morning that we got a strong and mighty powerful shepherd. Hey, but I'm talking about this morning by that bleeding of the sheep, he could tell. So the devil knows how you're doing spiritually. This morning, just by the sounds that's coming outside of your mouth, I mean, he wants the weak one. Hey, I ain't never seen, I've watched all kinds of stuff on the History Channel about these lions and tigers and all that. I ain't never seen them go for that fast gazelle much. Hey, but if they find one that's injured, they're going to go get it. Ain't it funny how they sneak up on him and they don't even see him until it's too late? He's moving through the grass and he's coming so smooth, and you're just going through the grass, you're fine. I know the world's beating up on me. I know the tall grass is coming in on me. I know I put myself in bad situations, but I can handle it. That's what we're saying. I can handle it. But by the time we notice the devil's there, it's already too late. He's already grabbed us. He's already got us because we put ourselves in bad situation. But I got good news. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy staff and thy rod, they comfort me. Hey, this morning, no matter what Satan throws at you, you say, what do I do when I'm feeling bad and when I'm down? Get in the middle of the sheepfold. Hey, I'm talking about the best place for you if you're weak. Hey, if you're not doing great, Brother Nate is to find some folks and get around them. I don't care how bad you're doing spiritually. If you can make it to the church house, if you could just make it back to that Bible and get back inside of God's Word, if you could just talk to God real quick. Hey, I'm telling you, I've had some bad days, but if I can make it to the church house or if I can make it around Christian fellowship, everything's better inside of it. Hey, I might not be right with God. I might not be where I need to be inside of my life. Hey, but can I tell you, I'm better off in the middle of the sheepfold. Hey, with 1,000 sheep around me feeling better, where the devil can't get to me, hey, than to be on the outside whining and complaining about how bad our life is and how bad everything's going inside of our life. So you say, what do I do if I am feeling like that? Don't let him know. Come in and start singing. What a happy time, some glad tomorrow when we lay these heavy burdens down. Hey, he don't like stuff like that. It turns his ear off. He's moving through them that thick grass, and he hears that, Brother James. He said, he ain't feeling as bad as I thought he was. And he turns around and he said, I got to find one that's weak. I thought he was weak. I thought I heard something, but when I got closer, he wasn't feeling quite as well as I thought he was. This morning, so we see the sheep, and then we see Satan. We can't be no stranger to the fact that we see the shepherd inside of our text this morning. And what about a shepherd? What about a shepherd that when we come to the psalm this morning and we talked about it, about how David was a shepherd and how David tended a flock and how David done all this thing, but he wrote from a sheep's point of view this morning. What a shepherd we have. Hey, think about this. When's the last time you thought about how good the shepherd's been to us? When's the last time we took deep thought and contemplation? We took our Bible and we read Psalms 23 and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll be honest with you. I read that text the other day for probably 15 minutes and couldn't ever get past that first verse, Brother Curtis. I mean, you think about it, the Lord is my shepherd, and then you put behind it all he's done for you, all he's taken away from you. Every time he's been there when you needed him, every time he's been there when you've called on him. I mean, what about that? What about a God who cares about you? Hey, just a speck of dirt is all I am. Hey, but God in his mercy reached down and lifted me up. Hey, can I say he's been carrying me ever since too? Hey, it's good this morning to know that we have a shepherd. Hey, but three things about that shepherd this morning. He provides when the sheep are hungry. In verse 2, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You understand? He said, he maketh me to lie down. Hey, we're stubborn and we're ignorant. Sometimes we'll have to go through heartaches and hard times to be made to lay down to get what God wants us for us. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm hard-headed. If anybody knows me, I'm a stubborn individual. Hey, but can I tell you this morning? I might not have laid down on my own terms, but he's got means of making us lay down. I sure don't want to be made to lay down in a casket. I sure don't want to be made to lay down in a hospital bed with a heart attack. Hey, I want to lay down on God's terms when God tells me to. Hey, I don't want to be made to lay down. Hey, even though he maketh me to lie down, I don't want what means could come. I think about the means of a way God could make us lay down, and we just stop back and we think he would never do that to us. I'm thinking this morning, and it'd probably be safe to say I got an uncle this morning that's being made to lay down constantly, and he can't grab a hold of it. He got a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And you talk to him, and you think he's going to get it, and it's going to take him to lay him down, and to lay him down, and to lay him down. Brother Curtis, it breaks my heart to know that if he does lay him down right now, I'll never see him on this side of eternity. I'll never see him on that side of eternity again. So I have to ask you this morning, do we know the shepherd? And it is good to know the shepherd. Ain't it good to know that he'll provide when we're hungry? But what about this? He points when we have when we don't know no direction. He points when we don't have a direction. In verse number 3, he said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Draw your attention back to verse number 2. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I'm thankful in verse 4 that he said, it said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I go my own way. I'm glad even though I go my own way, he'll lead me in the right direction. I'm talking about this morning. He points when we know no direction. He points when I don't have a way. Hey, I'm glad that morning that Holy Ghost came by my way, Brother Kojak, while I was sitting your way, and he said, get to Calvary. He said, get to Calvary. Hey, I remember messing up a little couple times, and not no gross sin or nothing. I remember I didn't read my Bible one time when I first got saved, about 2 months into it, and I didn't read my Bible for about a week. And man, I was feeling horrible about that thing. And I think Brother James was living with me, and I stayed up. I said, I'm going to read my whole Bible through in a month. And man, I stayed up, and God said, no, you ain't doing it. Go to sleep. I'm telling you. I made up my mind I was going to read my Bible and kept falling asleep every night. You're not going to do it on your own terms. You're going to do it on his terms. I'm glad this morning that he appoints when we know no direction. I like this fact that he protects when we're in danger. Verse number 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Brother Curtis, did it not say shadow of death? I like the fact it said a shadow. I remember growing up, we always used to try to run by that dog, that vicious dog. Hey, if most of you come to my house, I got a 70-pound pit bull. You ain't going to want to go in the backyard. Hey, because you don't want to walk by it. You're scared of what it could do. Hey, but I noticed this. If the ball's on the outside of the fence and all I do is go through its shadow, it can't touch me. What about that? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? Oh, death, where's thy sting? Hey, this morning, we might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil this morning. Hey, I'm talking about he protects when we're in danger. He knows the struggles. He's been there before, me and you. He knows the tools, the tactics of the enemy this morning. Hey, I thought about this. The sheep don't always have to worry about the lions and the bears and the wolves. They also got to worry about those trappers. Hey, them big old claw traps. Reggie, they want that wool. They'll set up them big claw traps. And they'll set up those bunkers is what they call them, Brother Curtis. Well, where you're walking and the ground just collapse. But that shepherd leads you. What about that shepherd? That shepherd's in the front. And he's got a staff and his rod. And he takes that staff and he's clearing out. And he sees that claw and he hits it and it goes off. The sheep keep walking behind him. He finds that hole. He uncovers it. Sheep walk around it. I wonder how many traps, how many claws have been set up inside of our lives that God has went before us. And hey, I'm talking about right when he thinks he had him, hey, that trapper's looking from a distance and he says he's about to get him. Two or three more steps and the shepherd goes before him and sets it off. Hey, I can't fathom how much God's at work for us, hey, when we're just walking. But I know this morning, wherever he leads, I definitely want to follow. Them claw traps are set to catch them them sheep, but he's there, that staff and the rod, and he finds them. If you and I only knew those, all those traps that God's went in front of us and grabbed and displaced and removed from our lives, how much thankful could we be? But it's safe to say this morning that he does it on a daily basis. I'm talking about he knows when the enemy will attack. I'm talking about there's three ways a shepherd will lead his flock: in the front, in the rear, and then he'll be in the middle with the sick and with the hurt. I noticed this. They said that those little lambs that get sick and they get hurt, he'll put them on his back, and he'll just carry them. And they don't have to see the hardships. They don't have to go through the gruesome walks when they're hurting. They just lean on Jesus. Hey, if we could just get to where God's at, everything else would be okay. Everything else would be fine. Hey, in John chapter number 10, if I could turn over there real quick. In John in chapter number 10, it's interesting this morning that he gives that parable. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door of the sheep, to him the porteth open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Hey, you see that? He goeth before them. Amen. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. He tells him he spoke the parable, but in verse 9 he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We know he's talking about salvation there. Hey, but if you know anything about a sheepfold and when they go to bunk down for the night, Maybe it was tall stone walls and it was a complete circle or so like that, but it didn't have a door. Those sheep would come in, and when that final sheep would pass by, Brother Curtis, that shepherd would just simply make himself the door. And nothing on the outside could get in unless he come through the shepherd. And I thought about that this morning. What about a shepherd that sits down in my door, that fights my battles? Hey, that knows when the enemy's coming, when I pillow my head down at night, I don't have nothing to worry about because he's there and he's willing and he's able. So this morning we see the perspective of the psalm. We see the persons of the psalm. But the last thing we do, and I'll let y'all go buy me something to eat, the portraits of the psalm. The portraits of the psalm. I've already talked about the shepherd. I'll backhand that one and we'll get it out the way. In verses 1 through 4, it talks about the shepherd of the psalm. I don't think we have to belabor the point this morning of who we're talking about and what he's capable of this morning. But it's amazing to me that if we focus and we look at the psalm, we'll see the shepherd. We'll see Jesus as a shepherd, as a servant, and also as a savior this morning. Verses 1 through 4, he's as a shepherd. But in verse 5, he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." What a servant. I think it was Brother David that preached not long ago, probably 6-7 months ago, about how Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And what a great picture that is of a servant. But that's not all he did. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." I thought about this, Brother Curtis. If I go to eat at your house, I'm a guest. And when you get tired or when you don't have enough food to finish feeding me, you're going to tell me it's time to go. And I thought about, man, what a being a guest at Jesus' house. And I got to thinking, when I get there, I won't be a guest because I ain't going home. I'm already there. Hey, he'll serve that table, and I'll be there forever to eat with Jesus. Hey, that's something to think about this morning. Then in verse 6, it says this. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever. That word "ever" carries two meanings with it, Brother Jonathan. It means at all times and at any time. The definition. So we'll be there at all times and at any time. And we're not going nowhere. As a Savior, you say this morning that he's not my shepherd. I'm not saved by the good grace of God. You're in a well-conducive atmosphere this morning. We're two or three gathered in my name. And I believe we're here. And we're gathered inside of his name this morning. I think it's safe to say that he's here. We felt a spirit moving. He's here to save. He said, "I'm here to seek and to save that which was lost. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm thankful this morning that he did save me. January 2nd, 2011, he changed my whole life. I like what Paul wrote over there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. He said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself for me." I'm glad that he did give himself for me. Hey, but he gave himself for you also. And you could be saved. And he will save you if you'll ask him. You'll come on his terms this morning. This morning, I'm done preaching. If Daddy will come and he'll start playing the guitar. This morning, if